I know Jesus in this place. I know that's all that's important today, that we know Jesus in this place. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I won't borrow from its sunshine, though the clouds all turn to gray. Ain't gonna worry all about my future, for I know what my Jesus said. He said each day, child, I'll walk beside you. And he knows, let me get a witness here. And he knows, yes, he knows what lies ahead. Why don't you sing this chorus? Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, for I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. How many knows he's got a hold of you? Many things, oh, about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he's still holding my hand. One more time, I feel that song. Many things about tomorrow, oh, I don't seem to understand. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. Hallelujah. Stick your hands in the air. Look to the heavens and just kind of wave them in his presence and say, Lord, I know it's going to be all right because I'm in your hands. Lord, have mercy. I feel the Holy Ghost here. And I know, yes, I know he holds my hand. The other evening, meditating on the Lord, and he showed me a vision, and in this vision I was in what appeared to be a round room. It was almost like a drum, probably 16, 20 feet around, and I was standing in the floor of that round room. My knees were bent. I was holding my stomach like this, bent over, indicating I was having some real serious physical problems. And suddenly, all over and all around that round room, hands began to reach through. They could only go about 6 or 8 inches through, but they were directing, and their fingers were moving, trying to reach me, but they couldn't get to me. It's all over from the top to the bottom. They were just reaching out. And suddenly, in the midst of all of that, just seconds later, after those hands came through and couldn't reach me, here came a great big hand right down through the middle of it. It was so big. You've got to catch this one now. It was so big, that hand was, that when he put it down there that way, I lay down in his hand, and he had his index finger raised just a little bit, it made me a pillow. And that finger was his pillow. I just laid back. That was the end of the vision. I don't know if he pulled me out of it or what he did. But it excited me so much that when you're sick, God moves on the hearts of people to help you. And people want to help you. And hands start coming from every direction. And if you're in a situation where those hands can't reach you, which often is the case, that's all right. I said, that's all right. There's a hand that can reach down a lot further than we can reach up. And he will come to our rescue. Let's love him again this morning. Praise his holy name. That's why we don't have to worry about the future. All we need to do is just be concerned about staying where we need to be with God. And God will take care of everything else. Amen. Listeners, we're glad that you're here today. Some of y'all have been on vacation. We're glad that you're back home. Hope that you enjoyed your holidays, vacation, and all that kind of stuff. But it's good to see you back to the house of the Lord. Going to the book of Colossians, if you would turn there. I hope I got enough voice left to preach after singing. Hitting a couple high notes. When you get my age, you just don't go there no more. Colossians 2 and 8, beginning a new series. Incidentally, the last series we taught on Promised Land series, I didn't even know how many there were to Sister Trina told me this morning. We did 22 lessons on that Promised Land series, getting them out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. And those series are available, and they're very pertinent to us today. Because what happened to them is a sign and a symbol to what we go through today. All right, Colossians 2 and 8. If you're there, shout hallelujah. And if you don't have your Bibles, just look to the screen. Beware. 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 You see, this is one of those words that we hear so much, it don't have any meaning anymore. Do you understand that? The human beings have a way that after you hear something so much, you hear it, but you don't hear it. Just ask anybody that's been married over 10 years. That's why your wife tells you something. Did you hear? Yes. You did hear, but you wasn't listening. So if she's really serious about it, if she don't really care, she'll let you go on. She doesn't figure you out by now. But if she's really serious, she's going to stop and say, look at me. Look at me. And when you look at her, it breaks all the attention of everything else going through your mind. And then this is what happens with this beware. We see it everywhere. Beware a dog. You know, beware of this, caution. All kind of signs everywhere you go on the road. You can't drive over 10 miles on any major expressway without seeing barrels and flags and signs. Caution. Caution. We get mad because we have to slow down. It's telling us there's danger, potential danger. Need to take caution. We don't look at it that way. We're just mad because it's costing us a few minutes. So here it is. Paul is warning about what could take place in his day, but more in particular in our day. He says, say it with me, beware. Why? Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Notice anything but Christ. I said, anything but Christ is what the world will offer you. For in him, not them, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Say that with me. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is bad to the bone. He is the head of all principality and power. It don't matter what the problem is, he's bigger than that. Don't matter how tough the battle is, he's tougher than that.
Praise God.
And you are complete in him. And that's what I want to talk to you about today as introductory. And over the next few weeks, deal with some more lessons as the Lord leads us in this, that we might understand just how what a great thing we do have. Just what a wonderful situation it is to be a Christian. You got to know who you are. To know who you are, you got to know who he is. You got to know he's the head of all principalities and power. The devil comes out, ain't no big deal. Come on. Our dad's a boss. He's the CEO of the whole universe. Not only CEO, he is the creator of the whole universe. And we just got to understand that we are complete in him. Pray for us, Brother Galley.
Do it, Lord.
Amen. Bless you this morning. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, the whole essence of the scriptures that I read to you came as a means of warning, because there's going to be somebody that's going to try to spoil us. Everybody say, spoil us. Do you ever know anybody spoiled? I ain't talking about brats now. When he's talking about spoiled, that's when you open up baloney, Sister Hurton. You don't eat it. It's alive. It's moving in the package, you know. It's spoiled. Whatever the situation is, too long in the sun. Too long outside the refrigerator. And my wife often does this, and I've had my nose broke twice through the years, so I can't hardly smell anything. But she's notorious for doing this. She'll pull something out of the refrigerator that looks a little fuzzy. No, it ain't fuzzy. Let me get all this straightened out. I'm going to try to eat her after a while. And she'll pull something out, and she'll pull that top off, and she smells it. Sandra, where's Sandra at? Where's she at? Sandra went out. Why is Sandra going out? Somebody find her and tell her I want to know why she went out here. I'm preaching about her. Most people will pull the top off and smell it like that. That's the way my wife does. Then she walks up to me and says, smell it. I can't smell it, but just her suspicion lets me know I don't want it that close to my lips. I've got a long nose, but it still has to get close to my lips for me to smell it. But Sandra, and the reason I'm going to talk about her, when she smells anything, where's she at? There she is. Where did you go to? There, okay. When Sandra smells something, she puts the end of her nose on it. But when something is spoiled, you may push it up there real quick, but once you smell it spoiled, woo! Ooh! Well, see, when it's spoiled, it's not fit for anything. It's good for nothing. The milk that has turned bad, the bologna that's spoiled, the cheese that's got fuzzy, all of this, it's not good for anything. You just have to toss it away. Paul's saying, I don't want this to happen to you. You are good bologna. See what I'm talking about? You are good material. You are God's kids. But you're going to have to be careful, because there's some elements at work in the kingdom of darkness that's wanting to take something good and make it bad. They're wanting to take something desirable and make it undesirable. And the way they're going to do it, and I'm just giving you a little outline in this introduction today where he's coming from. He said the way that they're going to do it is going to be through philosophy. You know, you've got Tom Cruise going around the country now preaching the Church of Scientology. Anybody heard about it? Everybody's heard about it. Most everybody. Philosophies. You know, they can philosophize anything. They can make it sound so reasonable and so good to you. But this church is not built on philosophies. It's built on the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not the philosophies of men. This did not come by the wisdom of men. Paul said, through the wisdom of men, they could not understand and nor know God. The wisdom of God is foolishness to man. So don't expect your college professor to tell you who Jesus Christ is. He don't even know where the tadpoles came from. Amen. Some people can be educated above their intelligence. And this is what happens when you have PhDs trying to tell you that the world came from an explosion. Evolved. Ridiculous. It's philosophies. And what burns me up is they put this kind of stuff into the curriculum when it comes time for you to be tested, as some of you college students know or have been to college. When it comes time for you to get tested, they want to know the answer that's in the book and not the answer that's right. And if you don't answer the answer that's in the curriculum, they're going to mark you wrong. The devil twists your arm for you to compromise. He said, but philosophers will spoil you. They can make it sound so good. You probably may not be aware of it, but when the Antichrist, and I believe the Antichrist is alive today. Amen. He is somewhere in the political grid right now in this world. I have no idea who he is, nor does anyone else. But I do know we're so close to the coming of the Lord that he is alive right now. Amen. And when he comes, the way that he's going to get his promotion and footing in a world society, it's one thing to talk your way in to get elected in America or some other nation, but the Antichrist is going to be so smooth that he is going to get a footing in the entire international community. Everybody is going to, oh. And it's going to happen. Anybody know how it's going to happen? It's going to be through philosophies. Great words and speeches, the scripture says. He is going to deceive people by fair words. With these speeches that he has, he's a philosopher. He's going to come up with the answer to all man's woes. And it's going to be so impressive that when the whole world's tuned in on him, they're all going to say, yes, he's the man I want to lead us. Make him chief. Amen. Where will it come from? I don't know. I've got a lot of opinions about this stuff, but they're merely opinions. I do know. The scripture says he'll have no desire for a woman. So that puts Elton John in line for that. But he probably won't be the Antichrist. But anyhow, there's a lot of things, indicators there, let you know where this dude is coming from, but he is going to persuade the entire world of people. 6.5 billion people are going to fall down and worship his image because they worship the man. It's in the book. Paul said before the Antichrist gets to his international throne, the spirit, John said, of the Antichrist is already working in our day. And that spirit is out to spoil you. It's out to destroy you. It's out to take everything godly and consciousness of God out of you. And I'm not just talking about kids in school or college or wherever. I'm talking about people that sit in apostolic church pews. The enemy wants to come in and philosophy and steal every bit of righteousness, holiness, desire to be separate from the world and live godly. He wants to steal all of that from your life. He wants you to get to the place where it don't matter how you baptize. It don't matter if you come to church or not. I can do what I want to. Every man's right in their own eyes. That's philosophy. That is the ingenious approach that the Greeks used. Amen. Because they operated on philosophy. And vain deceit after tradition of men. Not all traditions are wrong, but when it comes to religious traditions that are in conflict to the Word of God, you let the Word of God stand firm in your life and forget the other traditions. What you're hearing this morning, what you see every Sunday morning, Life Tabernacle, is so contrary to tradition. Tradition today, I would get up here and teach you from a book that I bought from headquarters, that was written 3 years ago, that repeats itself every 10 years or so. Let me tell you what, the Lord is coming. I don't know 3 days ago what I was going to be preaching or teaching this morning. So how in the world is somebody that's never been to Life Tabernacle going to know from 3 years ago what I'm going to lead this morning? People that do it, that's fine. I'm not knocking it. I'm just telling you it's a tradition. And then when they get through their Bible lesson, they'll go through little things, and then they'll go into what they call morning worship, and then they'll have preaching. In this hour, you can only hold adults approximately 17 minutes. So you think I can give you a lesson, Sunday school lesson, seminar type lesson, and hold you here for 45 minutes to an hour, get through that, take up missions offering, have the penny march, recognize all the birthdays in the house, have one of the children's classes come out and sing a song, then get up there and preach to you another 45 minutes, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. If I didn't get you on the first shot, ain't no need of you shooting in the woods for the deer. If you missed him, you missed him. You know? So you got one shot to do it. But tradition, we had to break out of tradition many, many years ago to get that job done, to make Sunday mornings evangelistic and not traditional. There's nothing about Life Tabernacle that is traditional. I don't want anything traditional. I want it to be relevant. I want it to be fresh. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he said traditions can spoil you. In fact, Jesus said this, your traditions have made the Word of God to none effect. Because people will stand by tradition, even in contrast of the Word of God. Yeah. If you don't believe me, you find somebody that's been a member of a church 15 years. And sit down with them, and they're honest-hearted and open-hearted, and you share truth with them. Watch what happens. Tradition and philosophy and vain deceit will begin to work on them. They will leave there. They'll say, yes, I see that. You know, I need to pray about this. Good. We want you to pray about it, blah, blah, blah. But rather than praying about it, they go talk to their pastor, Reverend Jack Frost. And he says, Those people are crazy over there. You don't need to listen to those people live tabernacle. That's a cult. Has anybody ever told you that? Why are we a cult? Because we do what the Bible says. Amen. We're a cult in their eyes, in many of their eyes, because just that. We don't do what traditions of men have established. We do what the Bible teaches. When the Bible says baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe that. Nobody was ever baptized any other way in New Testament church. Why should we come up with a Catholic doctrine that didn't come along to 300 years and say we got to use titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and if you don't, you're a cult? That is a Catholic teaching, folks. I don't want to stretch you out too far here this morning, but I just want you to know the tradition is a very strong situation. A lot of people will go down with the ship on tradition by simply holding on to what mom did and dad did and grandpa did. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. No, sir. No, sir. Whatever Jesus says, that's what I want for me. Amen. Rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Anything, everything instead of Jesus. For in Him, get it established in your mind. There's only one God, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, the Bible says. For in Him, everybody say in Him, dwelleth. It's resident. He inhabits that body. The eternal and almighty Spirit of God inhabited that body. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. Jesus is not in a Godhead. The Godhead is in Jesus. Amen. That's a lesson of its own, but I want you to understand that. If you're going to be saved, you got to believe there's one God. Amen. The Bible says if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. They don't tremble. People believe in two gods, three gods, or 1,000 gods. They only tremble when people stand up with firm conviction and convince in their spirit and heart and mind there is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Amen. And that one Lord came in the personage of Jesus Christ. Now, getting to our lesson today. 10th verse, please. And ye are, we are, you are, I am. Come on, we can teach this collectively. We can teach this individually. Everybody here, if there was 10 million people here this morning, I could preach and teach the same thing. Jesus is all that you need. If there wasn't anybody here but me this morning, I have to put up a full-length mirror and look at it and preach to me. I'd look at me and say, Jesus is all that you need. Why? Because I am, you are, complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. What does that mean? Complete in Him. I love this word, complete. You know what it means in the original Greek? It means to make replete. That's a word we don't often use, but that's a good word. It means to fill up to abundance. It means to fill up. Oh, I like this one. It means to cram. Oh, Lord, I just feel it now. To cram. Brother Galley, I want you to start wadding up paper and come over here. I want to show them what replete means here. And I want to show them what this complete means. Put it in there. There we go. Yes, sir. That's where some of you are this morning. That's the reason you're having a problem, you see. Mm-hmm. We're almost to the top. See, here we are, just barely sticking over. Amen. But this thing we're talking about is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. It's pressed down, shaken together, running over. But this complete he's talking about is not meaning just to be full, but it means to cram. Lord, I can't take another. Oh, yes, you can. Lord, I can't take another. Oh, you need another blessing. You just think you just got a touch while ago, and that's all you need. You need a few more touches before you leave here today. Give me another now. Here, go over and get some Kleenex. Get him something there, Donnie. Donnie's getting these words from his wife's songbook. That's all right. There we go. He's going to be in trouble for that. Lord, I'm full. Thank you for your touch, Jesus. Praise God. Here it is. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm so full. I feel so good. Surely this is enough. No, it ain't. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. Cram. You are whole. Lord, have mercy. You are complete in Him. You ain't got a good blessing until God gets a hold of you and pours you full and then just starts tamping it down and cramming it in there and making room for... What are you doing, Brother Adams? I'm making room for another blessing. I'm making room for another touch of His anointing. Woo! Brother Galley, I want you to jump up and down, if you would, please. Just stand there. What's he doing? He's pressing it down. He's pressing it down. Okay, we got a little more room here. Here comes some more. My wife's really throwing the trash at us up here today. Hallelujah. Woo, boy, that feels good. I didn't think God could bless me any more than what He already blessed me. I didn't think He could do any more than what He already done. And I want you to look at here. Cram. Cram it in there. Bring it on, Jesus. Because the more I give, the more I want. Because the more I got of Him inside of me, the smaller the devil looks, the smaller my troubles become. Cram it in there. Come on, honey. Now run down through there and show them. While ago it was full, but look what else you can have. You are complete in Him this morning. God wants to get a hold of you and just cram you full of the good things of God here today. Oh, rejoice in Him right now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then you find somebody along the way that needs a touch from God, and you take what you got and you throw a little piece out there to them, but you're still all right because God done crammed you down. You are loaded up. Somebody needs the anointing over there. Yeah, somebody needs a healing back there. Praise God. Amen. You still got more left because God has crammed His glory, crammed His power. And when you pull it out, God keeps putting it back in. Come on, ram it in there. There you go. Brother Gallagher, you about ready to preach, ain't you? I can just see, man. Oh, God. Wish I had that microphone right now. Hallelujah. I know what He's wanting to do, and I'm fixing to let Him do that. He's wanting to go down these aisles in Jesus' name, start throwing these things that God has crammed into this message for some of you all here this morning. Hallelujah! You might have came in empty, but you're going to leave full. You might have came in just thought you was full, but jump up and down a little bit, tamp it down. God's got more blessings. He's got more anointing.
Somebody need a miracle right now. Somebody need a blessing right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've been saying, Brother Galley, I'm cram-packed with blessings. Hallelujah. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Come on, you don't know what's going to happen to your baby. You don't know what's going to happen to your child. You don't know what the devil's going to do to your marriage. You got to have that blessing. You need that miracle. Woo! Oh, you just can't stand back and expect it. You got to get a little desperate for it.
Come on. Shake them together. Run it over.
My Lord, have mercy. If you want it, you need to step out in the aisle. You need to step out and claim it. You need to step up and reach for it. God's filling somebody's cup up. David said, I lift my cup up. Fill it up, Lord. Hallelujah. Get me under the spout. Woo! Mm-mm-mm. Who else wants a miracle? Who else wants a blessing?
Hallelujah. That's right. Throw them out there.
Hallelujah.
The blessings of God. Here comes the Lord. Just filling it right back up. Come on. When you pour yourself out, God's going to fill you back up. You think, Lord, I ain't got enough to pray for somebody else. I ain't got enough to do. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and be used of the Holy Ghost and watch God just fill you right back up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Uh-oh, here we go. The Lord's getting happy now. Woo! Come on, folks, let's rejoice. There's a bunch of it on the loose here this morning. Here you go, Brother Gaddy. Hey, you know what? I just kind of feel like there's some here this morning who would like to take some of this and throw it on somebody else. Who is it? Who is it? Come on, let them get a hold of some of that. Take it and throw it on somebody else here today. There you go. Who else is it? Just come on up here and get it real quickly. Yeah! Hallelujah. Better look out, Satan, look out. We're coming to you in the name of the Lord, the head of all principality and power and all authority. There you go. There you go, Sister Gloria. Let the Lord bless you here today. Hallelujah. Who else is it? Somebody get some Kleenex and fill him back up there. Here, get them, fill him back up. He ain't through here yet. My Lord, when I got feeling this, I just kind of wish I had a trash can. Fill it up. Fill it up. Come on, you should get excited when you see God filling the man of God up. Because you know when God fills the man of God's cup up, you're fixing to get your blessing. You're fixing to hear from heaven. You're fixing to get healed. You're fixing to have a miracle worked in your life. Woo! Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, worship the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. If anybody's hungry, he said, let him come to me. If anybody's lonely and destitute, let him come to me. If anybody feels like just giving up and they can't go any further, he said, bring it to me. I want to give you hope. I want to get you reconnected. Some of you need to worship God while the Holy Ghost is doing a work here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Reach over and join hands with someone beside you if they're not worshiping and lift them up. Begin to shout praises unto the Lord. Amen. Shout praises. Don't just pray for him. Shout praises unto the Lord. He is working right now. He is working. He is working on our behalf. This service is all about you. You are complete in him. It's all about your needs and God's power. It's all about your weakness and God's strength. It's all about your healing and God's wholeness. Worship the Lord and shout praises to his name. Praise God. There's a big hand coming down in the house this morning. There's a great big hand coming down in the house today. Jesus. 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 Oh, my God, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, we are complete in you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I tell you what I want to do right now. I want to open this altar up for some of you that you're empty and you know you're empty, but you want to be full. Some of you, your vessels are broken, but you want to be whole. Your heart's broken. Your dreams are shattered. But you want God to put it all back together, and he's the only one that can. I want you to come on to this altar as I open it up to you this morning. Come on to this altar and say, God, I need you. I need you, Lord. I'm complete only in you. There's not happiness anywhere else. There's no peace anywhere else. There's no wholeness anywhere else. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Churches, continue to pray as the Holy Ghost of God just reaches down and draws us to his sacred side here this morning. Come on and pray. Come on and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.